Let's talk, first of all, people may not know the name Billy Hamilton, but he's a former deputy controller. And he's put out a report that estimates that it's going to be a $15 billion hit as far as Medicaid shortfall is concerned. And I know that you filed some legislation in answer to that. First, are you overall in agreement with the numbers that Hamilton has put forth?
Not necessarily. Billy Hamilton is putting forth that we'd be saving about $4.3 billion over the next 10 years if we were to expand Medicaid.
Right.
The bill I put forth would be if we were to expand Medicaid, which I am not for in its current form, that this bill would prevent the double taxation of Obamacare. The argument is that we're going to be saving on the back end taxes at the local level mm-hmm. and hospital district level. If that were to materialize, this bill would mandate a tax rate cut at the local level to offset the proposed savings that would materialize from expansion of Medicaid at the federal level.
Now, it's a week since you and I talked about this a little bit. Is there any kind of a movement on being able to put a package together that Austin and Washington are even talking about?
Well, I think the legislature is receptive to the idea of getting some of our tax dollars that we're sending up to the federal government back to Texas. However, we can't do it with the handcuffs and the restrictions that are currently placed upon the state by the federal government. We desperately need to have increased access to care for those individuals that need that care. But expanding Medicaid with a financial partner that is insolvent is not the way to do it.
Now, your Senate bill is calling for a constitutional amendment to reduce taxes. So explain to us what the process would have to be if this passes, and to get it onto a ballot, when would that necessarily happen?
Right. It requires a two-thirds vote of both houses, and that would be this fall, which would be on the ballot. It's going to have a hearing in the Senate Finance Committee, and I'm very proud that Senate Finance Chair Tommy Williams is quite interested in that bill. But it looks at the LBB, which is the Legislative Budget Board, as well as the Comptroller, would figure how much tax savings there would be at the local level, and that dollar amount would then be offset by a tax rate cut at the local level for any reported savings that would occur by expansion of Medicaid. But again, I don't think that savings is there. I don't think it's going to materialize. I think it's a red herring, and I put this bill forth to bring that to light.
So, and tell me what kind of response you've gotten either on the other side, from the other chamber. Is this something, of course, you just floated it. When did you bring this out?
I filed it on Friday.
Okay, so have you gotten any response? I mean, it's only Wednesday, but have you gotten any feedback?
Oh, sure. I've gotten quite a bit of positive feedback from individuals that think expansion of Medicaid is not the way that the state of Texas needs to proceed. I'm pleased to say that leadership has a positive view of it, and certainly Finance Chair Tommy Williams has a positive view of it, and others in the Republican caucus.
So now educate me a little bit. What this would do is not set a rate necessarily. What it would do is it would look at the savings, and then the you would offset the tax rate based on that, so it would change every year. Is that
That's right.
Right. Okay.
That's correct.
And well, that again. But go ahead.
Well, just taking a broader perspective. This has not been a very flashy session. It's been very businesslike, and Medicaid and healthcare are just one of the many topics we've been trying to address down here. Education and infrastructure or other areas that we've been moving forward on. So I'm real pleased that overall it's been a workmanlike type session without a lot of partisan blowups.
Charles Werner joining us this morning from Austin. Yesterday, the education commissioner decided to release the results of the STAR test mm-hmm. earlier than state law would designate. Normally, they would make it every 3 years. That way, they could use those questions over and over. But now, if this in fact happens, then their state would have to spend millions of dollars to come up with new answers because there would have to be a new test. But I would like to get your thoughts on the early release of the test results.
I think it's a good idea. I think our teachers need to be empowered and with the knowledge of what's on those tests. In fact, I filed a bill mandating that, Senate Bill 1505. I'm glad the commissioner beat me to it.
So now let's turn our attention to your course on the Senate Criminal Justice Committee.
And right.
yesterday, an interesting case, and it's been in the news really for a long, long time, and that was the story of Michael Morton, who walked out. He testified yesterday before your committee, is that right?
Yes, and it was very strong and moving testimony. It's a tragedy what happened to Mr. Morton, being imprisoned for a crime he didn't commit for over 20 years.
20 years, exactly. And the DA, Williamson County, as a matter of fact, so your home county, right, Ken Anderson, of course, he's not in that position anymore, but basically what we're looking at is widening the window for people to look for some sort of prosecutorial improprieties?
Right, prosecutorial misconduct, and the statute of limitations starting at the time that the individual is released from jail rather than at the very beginning.
Safe to say that this is probably the most publicized case of that in America?
It is, yes. Yeah.
And so where does it go from this point?
Well, it passed out of the Criminal Justice Committee yesterday. It'll be heading to the full Senate floor, and I'm sure it will pass overwhelmingly, probably unanimously, off the Senate floor.
Anything else of import that you're going to take up in the Senate before you and I speak next week?
Sure. Well, we've already passed our supplemental appropriations bill, and again, we're taking care of our business and squaring our books from the current biennium. But next Wednesday, we're bringing up Senate Bill 1, which is the Senate appropriations bill. And, you know, one of our constitutional duties is to pass a budget for the next 2 years. Senate Bill 1 is that bill, and it'll be quite debated and relatively lengthy discussion, I think, on Wednesday.